الحمد لله رب العالمين، اللهم صل وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، أما بعد. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we ask Allah to exalt the mention and grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Forgive me for sitting down. I've sprained my ankle and I'm unable to stand up for a long time. The Shaykh began his khutbah by quoting or by praising Allah who has said in the Quran, "And such we have made you a just nation, a middle nation, so that you may be witnesses over the people and so that the messenger may be a witness over you." And furthermore, he bore witness that there is no God worthy of worship except Allah. And we hope that this will be a statement which will bring about salvation on the day of resurrection. And he bore witness that Muhammad was the slave and the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who taught humanity the concept of justice and fairness in statement and in actions. He reminded us to have taqwa of Allah. And Allah says in the Quran, "And verily we have advised you, the people of the book who came before you, and you that you shall have taqwa of Allah." The taqwa of Allah is what will save you from tribulations and trials. Talq ibn Habib had said, "Ittaqu al-fitan bi-taqwa." Protect yourself from trials, from tribulations, by having taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jal. O Muslims, Allah has honored this Islamic nation with many different characteristics which Allah had sent through the best of His messengers. And He sent it down in the best of His books and revelations and in the best of legislations. And these are numerous bounties which cannot be counted or enumerated. Among them is that He had made the Muslim Ummah an Ummah of justice, i'tidal, being fair and square, being even, in the middle, not going to either extremes, as you will see in the explanation. And then he quoted the ayah which he quoted earlier in the beginning of the khutbah. This then concept of being a middle nation is one which was taught and one of the principles of the Quran, which the Quran spoke about. And this is among the most common and praiseworthy characteristics of the Islamic religion. It has reached such a point that the concept of justice is in between two extremes. Ghulu, and we need to become familiar with these terminologies. I mean, I want us to understand the Arabic words, so when we hear them in the future, in various talks, khutbat al-jum'ah or otherwise, we know what the person is speaking about. Familiarize yourselves with the following terms. Ghulu. Ghulu means what? Extremism. Going to extremes. That's an important definition. Now we also get from that, al-ifrat wa-tafrit. They sound close. They're derived from the same word actually, but their meanings are, they're antonyms. They're opposites one another. Ifrat is going to extremes in doing something. Tafrit is being negligent. And we will come across these terms again. So the concept then of justice in Islam is harmonious with the natural disposition. The way Allah created human beings, they are inclined towards justice. They like justice, they like, because this is something that is natural, it is unartificial, it is harmonious with the way Allah has created the children of Adam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as in the hadith in Bukhari, the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained the statement of Allah, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا, and such we have made you a middle nation, a just nation. فقال الوسط والعدل, العدل, meaning you are just, justice. O Muslims, the one who reflects on the methodologies throughout history, he will find that it's one of three. Either, we go back, either ifrat, extreme, going beyond the limits. Tafrit, not fulfilling the obligations, negligence. Aw i'tidal, the middle one. The square, the fair, the just one. And he will strike examples of each. The term, فَمَنْهَجْ الْإِفْرَاطِ, the one of extremism, it's the one of the غُلَاتِ, the extremists. And Allah Azza wa Jal had addressed it in the Qur'an in two different occasions. Both times addressing the people of the book. يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ لَا تَغْلُوا فِي دِينِكُمْ وَلَا تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْحَقِّ. O people of the book, do not go to extremes in your religion, nor say about Allah except that which is true. Because they went to extremes. Another ayah Allah says, O people of the book, do not go to extremes in your religion in anything other than the truth. Ibn Kathir said, أَيْ لَا تُجَاوِزُ الْحَدْ فِي اتِّبَاعِ الْحَقِّ. Ajib. Don't go to extremes in following the truth. Don't go to extremes in following the truth. Not that they're ignoring the truth, but they're trying to follow the truth, but to such an extent that they're complicating things which Allah made simple. And we get a lot of that nowadays. We get a lot of that. Some of these people don't know, by the way, that they're extremes. They're going to extremes. But they may see something in your dress code, whether you're wearing something or not wearing something, and they make the whole deen revolve around this one thing. Either if you're doing it, you're on the sunnah, you're going to Jannah, you're not doing it, it's musibah. Even though Islam didn't give this thing such emphasis. It's something that is just, you know, it's a voluntary, it's mubah. Some of the scholars say you may be rewarded, some of them said it's not even part of the thing. People go to extremes in emphasizing things which Islam didn't emphasize. But they want the truth. They try to call it to the sunnah. But this is ifrat. This is ifrat. So be careful. So this is the first one. So Allah Azza wa Jal warned, and the people of, even though the warning is addressing the people of the book, whenever Allah criticizes the people of the book, we know in the Quranic revelation that we are being addressed. When Allah spoke to them, meaning don't follow their ways, don't do what they have done. Meaning we cannot go to this form of extremism either. Because this goes against the normal natural lifestyle, which Allah has ordained for the children of Adam. The Shaykh said the danger associated with this manhaj, with this methodology of extremism, that the Prophet ﷺ used to warn his Sahaba against it at the end of his life. At the end of his life, alayhi salatu wasalam, because it has destroyed nations which preceded us. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, in Hajjat al-Wada, the farewell pilgrimage. This is towards the end of his life, alayhi salatu wasalam. He said, O people, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالْغُلُوُ فِي الدِّينِ. Woe to you. Yani be careful, avoid extremism in the religion. Now do you know when he said that? I was hoping the Shaykh will quote the context. But you know the context of this hadith? This is when he commanded Ibn Abbas, I believe, to pick up the seven pebbles. And then he showed them the size. He said like this. This is the size. Then he gave this warning. Woe to you from going to extremes. Today they bring them and they shower them and they put soap and perfume and oud and put them in a special bag. This is the extremism. This is the extremism. Pick seven pebbles, average size, and woe to you from going to extremes. Too big, too small, trying to add things, thinking that this is going to please Allah. No. The context shows you that in something that minor, which we may consider minor, the Prophet ﷺ came and warned the people against extremism. He said, verily, that which has destroyed the nations which preceded you was their ghulu in their deen, their extremism in their religion. And what do you think the Christians do now? This whole concept of you know, celibacy. They don't get married. The priests don't get married and whatever. And then you know what they do in return? They molest children. Because they went against justice and fairness. They went to extreme in supposedly living a life of asceticism, and then they destroyed themselves and the people around them. And the Muslims will follow the same track, إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. Now the ulama do point out the fact that the advice which the Prophet ﷺ gave towards the end of his life carries a specific importance, has a special weight and value as opposed to the other ones, because these were the things he was trying to emphasize before he died, alayhi salatu wasalam. So among the things which he said before he died, we wish the people would listen to this hadith and reflect upon it, it's clear like the sun. He said, do not take my gravesite, my grave, wathanan, as an idol, ba'di. Do not take after me, do not make my grave a place which you attend. In one narration said, Eid, a place which you visit often and always. Do not take it a place where you make dua specifically towards the Prophet ﷺ, or let alone make dua to him. Don't make it like this. The sunnah is, if you go to the Masjid al-Nabawi, you happen to go by there, you say, Salamu alayka ya Rasulallah, aw salamu ala Rasulillah, and then to Abu Bakr and Umar, and you move on. But you go see what they're doing right now. They have to have soldiers there, you know, telling the people to go away, because people don't want to move. What are you saying? The longest dua in his life is at the grave of the Prophet ﷺ. Why? Why, ya akhi, the longest dua should be in sujood. It shouldn't be over there. This is extremism. And of course, people started like that, then they went to worship the Prophet ﷺ. People, you know, leave letters, and then not only the Prophet ﷺ, no, Abdul Qadir al-Jilani. Now they have a list of people whom they worship in their graves. Shirk. The very shirk which Nuh was warning against, the very shirk which Allah said He will not forgive, the very shirk that the person who commits it will never enter Jannah. إِنَّهُ مَا يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَأْوَاهُ النَّارِ وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارِ. Whosoever associates partners with Allah, Allah has made Jannah forbidden upon them, and their abode will be the hellfire, and they will have no helpers. The same shirk, if not worse. At least the Christians were calling on Jesus, who was a messenger of Allah. He was alive. Now people call on a dead man. They don't know his destination. They don't know whether Allah is pleased with them or not. We don't know. We assume. But ajeeb, how shirk has entered into the ummah of Muslims. And we need to be careful of the shirk and warn against it. And educate our family members who don't know any better. They were, you know, in an environment where this was prevalent. It's our obligation, those who Allah blesses with the knowledge of Tawheed, to go back over there and address these issues. Don't be a silent devil. Say, oh, leave them. Fitna. It's going to cause fitna. It's going to cause division. Yeah. But at least you may be saving them from Jahannam. This is a matter which you don't leave. Because the Prophet ﷺ knew he was going against all of his tribe, all of the people, and he was still commanded to proclaim the da'wah. This is something which you don't compromise. So this is one element of the elements of extremism. Furthermore, the Prophet ﷺ manifested that in his own actions and statements. He had said in a hadith, whosoever I have lashed, here is my back, and wrongfully, here is my back, then lash mine. And whosoever I have said something about him, then go ahead and say something about me. Alayhi salatu wasalam. This is out of justice, even though, you know, he never did anything wrong to them, nor would any one of them try to, you know, take their right back in this fashion from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This was his justice, alayhi salatu wasalam. So then, the manhaj of extremism is that of the people of doubt. The people of doubt. Those who have went against the prophetic justice. And they took a methodology which is far away from the light of the prophethood of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Who are amongst the leaders of this manhaj? The Khawarij. The Khawarij are among the leaders of this methodology of extremism. Who went against the Muslims? Who divided themselves from the masses of Muslims? They went against them, and they declared disbelief upon anyone who commits a major sin. If you commit a major sin, they labeled you as a kafir. And then, because you're a kafir, you become an apostate. So if you're an apostate, that means you must be killed. So they make then your blood and your wealth lawful for them. This is amazing. And they went on to the Wali al-Amr. They do takfir against the people and the rulers and the people in charge, and this is something which you hear about every day now. This is why today they're known as takfiriyin. They're called takfiris. Because they have no problem going to extremes in doing takfir. Some of them who thought that they were guided, yani people who used to be Hanafi, hardcore Hanafi, then Allah guided them to become more, you know, more balanced in following the Sunnah. They went to extreme by declaring Imam Abu Hanifa kafir. This is crazy. Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, one of the greatest Imams in Islam, I've read these things with my own eyes. These feeble-minded people, they say, he's a kafir. The Imam Abu Hanifa, you have to count and think a million times before you can accuse an Imam of the Imam of Muslims of something that grave. Not he made a mistake, no, he's not a Muslim. Why? Because of some misunderstanding, they don't even know the basics of the deen. Extremism. People go to extremism. Takfir, even amongst the scholars, these are hukuma scholars, government scholars. You know, the government pays him 10,000 riyals, he gives you a fatwa. So they declare the scholars kuffar, the people in charge kuffar, and if you don't think that they're kuffar, you're a kafir too. Ishada. This carelessness, negligence about the rights of the Muslims. Everyone is a kafir because you don't like him? It doesn't work this way. Who was their imam? Dhul Khuwaysira. This was his kunya. And what happened was, the Prophet ﷺ had distributed some of the war booty. And this man came in the presence of the Sahaba and he said, Ya Muhammad, i'dil. He said, Oh Muhammad, be just. This is a division wherein you did not seek Allah's pleasure. The Prophet ﷺ became upset. He said, Woe to you! Who will be just if I am not just? If the Messenger of Allah is not just, then who do you expect after him to be just? I believe it's either Umar ibn al-Khattab or Khalid ibn al-Walid. Different narrations. He said, Allow me to strike his neck, O Messenger of Allah. Because this is kufr. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, no. Because he knew alayhi salatu wasalam, as the ulama explained, by taking him away, you're not going to put an end to the fitna. If his cursing the Prophet ﷺ would have put an end to the fitna, he was supposed to be killed. Because anyone who verbally abuses the Messenger of Allah, the Islamic ruling is that he is killed. However, he knew alayhi salatu wasalam, that more will come like him. And he didn't want this to affect the da'wah, because the people will say Muhammad is killing his companions, alayhi salatu wasalam. Yaqtulu ashabah. So he said, leave him. They will come from him, from his likes. He's saying this to the Sahaba, pay attention. People whom if you were to compare your salah to theirs, and your fasting to theirs, you will see yours as insignificant. Yani the Sahaba is saying this to Abu Bakr and Umar and Ibn Umar and Ibn Abbas and the scholars, the senior scholars. He said, if you compare your ibadah to theirs, you will belittle your ibadah. And in fact, they said that these Khawarij, their hands were crusty from abundance of sujood. Their eyes were sunk in their face because they would stay up all night in salah. Devout worshippers. And they went to extreme by thinking they're so much upon the truth that they started thinking the Messenger of Allah is not being just. He thought he had more taqwa than the Messenger of Allah. Conceitedness wal-iyadu billah. And these Khawarij exist today. They exist today and they come in different groups with different names. They've made themselves the only people upon the truth. And either you call yourself by their name or you go into Jahannam. 73 sects, 72 will go to Jahannam, one will go to Jannah. Who's this one? No, not anyone. No. Only one who follows 4 or 5 shuyukh, which they've made the shuyukh. And then you have to call yourself by a particular name. And then you have to buy a membership in this group. Then and only then they give you this, like the Christians used to sell, the parts in paradise. At World War 1 and 2, the Christian priest will tell the people, give me 10,000 riyals, I'll give you a property in Jannah. And the idiots, Christians, will come and pay him money, thinking that they guarantee the place in Jannah by buying it from a priest. These people do the same thing. It's okay, you can commit sins. You're on the manhaj. You're on the haq. No problem, akhi. Do what you like. These are another form of extremists. Be careful of them. You don't have to be called anything but what Allah called you, Muslim. What kind of Muslim? Huh? We say yes. There's a special kind of Muslim. A Muslim who follows the Quran and the Sunnah, not according to anyone, according to the understanding of the early generations. Why? Because Allah gave him tazkiyah. The manhaj, we can't differ on. We can't differ on. You don't have a choice. I want to be a modern Muslim, Allah. Modern, you know, I like the new understanding of Islam, new understanding of the scholars. If the scholars today understand it different than the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salam, the Sahaba, then we do not take this understanding at all. Khawarij. So he said to the Prophet, be just. He warned against them. He said, these people will read the Quran and it will not go beyond their collarbone. It will not go beyond their throats. Yani they will read it, but it won't go into their heart. He said they will leave Islam the way the arrow goes through the target. They will leave Islam. The Khawarij. And you know, today that you see them. Most of these people and these riots and revolutions did not go for these riots and revolutions until they had declared their ruler as a kafir. With a just cause and without. Some of them, yes, the ruler is no good because the ulama gave us fatwa about them. But here, in the kingdom of Saudi Arabia, what do you want? You want Umar ibn al-Khattab to be the Amir? Who do you want? Take it easy, man. Look at our condition. Look at our condition and understand that it's all proportional. Alhamdulillah, Islam is there. You go to the court, still you judge by the book and the sunnah. Alhamdulillah, there's no perfection. Nobody's claiming perfection, and you can't bring perfection. You cannot be fair. Because you find some errors, you declare everybody a disbeliever. Yalla, let's get rid of this. What are you going to do after they go? What kind of justice, what kind of security are you going to have? None. Look at what's going on in the Muslim world today. They can't even have a good sleep at night. Alhamdulillah, Allah blessed us with that. So we don't want to ruin it by following this feeble-minded khawarij. Now this was the first manhaj, the manhaj of the extremists. Ifrat. This is opposed by manhaj at-tafriit. Negligence. Carelessness. And not fulfilling the limits and the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the people of shahawat. These are the people of desires. Today they come and they're known as the modernists. Or those who are trying to westernize the Muslim ummah. They're trying to westernize the Muslim ummah. By bringing a foreign cultures and foreign understanding to Islam. And you know, we've seen a lot of things in recent days where they're trying to, you know, they don't like this Islamic, you know, brotherhood. They don't like the guidelines of Islam, so they want us to become like the West. Freedom of speech, women are allowed to do this, women should be allowed to do that, it's okay to have books which contain kufr and shirk. Let the children read Harry Potter. What's the big deal? He knows this is sihr. He's not going to do it. Let them do this. Let them do that. Brainwashing. So that we will become westernized. So that we will reach a point when the father tells his son, huh, go to the masjid. He will tell him, if you tell me to go to the masjid one more time, I'm going to call the police on you. Which is what happens in the Western world. You tell me one more time to go to the masjid and I will call the police to arrest you because you're going against my freedom of speech and freedom of belief. And I've known people who had to go through this. His own son, he can't tell him the word Islam or Salah because his son will call the police on his father for harassing him. Yes, that's what they want. They don't want you to have dutifulness to the parents. No, no, no. Western lifestyle. Western lifestyle. And these are all over the place today, wal-iyadu billah. These ones, also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned against. In the hadith in Bukhari, and the hadith of Sa'id al-Khudri, he said, verily you shall follow the ways of those who preceded you. Shibran bi shibrin. A handspan by a handspan. Wa dhira'an bi dhira'an. An arm's length by an arm's length. حَتَّى لَوْ سَلَكُوا جُحْرَ ضَبٍّ لَسَلَكْتُمُهُ. Even if they entered the hole of a lizard, you will enter it. And I have a lecture you find on YouTube and on DVD titled The Hole of a Lizard. And it was about this whole lecture is about this particular concept. And today you see them. Recently I read a post, gay Muslims are fighting for their right. We have the right to be gay. As if people didn't read Surah, you know, Lut. and the people of Lut. Ajib, yani, from where are you going to find any leeway in Islam for, you know, homosexuality? Islam rejects it totally. No, but they want to do the same thing. Great gay Christians came out, and we have gay Muslims now. And so on and so forth. Every time they come with something, you find some Muslims who will follow them. Even if they went into the hole of a lizard, they want to go behind them. And some, alhamdulillah, don't like that. Now we love the sunnah, and we act upon the sunnah, and we don't follow anyone. We are the leaders, we're never followers to anyone. The third manhaj is the one which is the nur, the light, the manifest light, and the straight path, which is the manhaj of Islam, the justice of Islam, which is the one that Allah is pleased with, and is pleased with for the whole of humanity, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is the manhaj of as-siddiqeen, and nabiyeen, the prophets, and the siddiqeen, and the martyrs, and the righteous people. It is the manhaj of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whom he applied in all of the affairs of his life. Alayhi salatu wasalam. He was never an extremist, nor was he negligent, alayhi salatu wasalam. And this is something which you can see in his sunnah. Whoever reads his biography, this will become evident for him. He was never given a choice between two things, except that he chose the easier one, provided that it is not haram. Provided that it is not haram, alayhi salatu wasalam. Furthermore, he would never get angry for himself, but if Allah's rights were violated, he would become very angry. This is the justice. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, the student of Ibn Taymiyyah. And many people don't know this, by the way. You find people warn against Ibn Taymiyyah. Say he's a Wahhabi. Huh? Even though Wahhabi, you know, the Shaykh Muhammad Abdul Wahhab came a few hundred years ago, and Shaykh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah was 700 years ago. I don't know how he managed to be Wahhabi. But even though they say he's a Wahhabi, don't take knowledge from him. And then you go to his house, and you find on the shelf Tafsir Ibn Kathir. He doesn't know that Ibn Kathir was Ibn Taymiyyah's student. Ibn Qayyim, Imam al-Dhahabi, and Ibn Kathir were all the students of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. They follow him exactly in his way. And his way is the way of the righteous predecessors. But people don't know. Now be careful. This and that. Subhanallah al-Azim. Akhi, learn before you talk. Learn. This is the student of that. Imam Ibn Kathir was Shaykh al-Islam's student, Ali radiyallahu anhu, wa rahimahullah rahmatan wasi'a. Ibn Qayyim, the student of Ibn Taymiyyah, said, Allah has never commanded something except that the shaitan will try to mislead you in one of two ways. This is very important. Allah never commanded something except that shaitan will try to mislead you in one of two ways. Either towards extremism or towards negligence. And the deen of Allah is in between. Is between those who are careless about it and those who are extreme concerning it. It is like a valley between two mountains. It is like guidance between two forms of deviances. And it is like the middle between two blameworthy sides. So the same way, the one who is negligent is not fulfilling Allah's rights, the one who is extreme is also going beyond the limitations. And the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal is in between. He said, the Muslims, the justice in the life of the Ummah al-Muhammadiyya, alayhi salatu salam, is something which we don't just speak about theoretically. This is something which we should be observed and found in our behavior concerning those who are in charge and those who are ruled by the rulers. So you will find, and I will just summarize because of time. Here's some of the elements where Islam brought justice between two extremes. Concerning the rububiyyah and the uluhiyyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Muslims believe in the rububiyyah of Allah, and they believe that because of this rububiyyah, only Allah deserves worship alone. This is in a middle between two extremes. The atheists who deny Allah's rububiyyah, and the mushrikeen who worship along with Allah other gods. And then they criticize the Muslimin. أَجَعَلَ الْآلِهَةَ إِلَهًا وَاحِدًا إِنَّ هَذَا لَشَيْءٌ عُجَابٌ. He has made all these gods one god. This is something amazing. This is a curious thing. This is what they claim. Islam is in between two extremes in terms of the names and attributes of Allah. الأسماء والصفات. Between المعطلة. The معطلة deny Allah's names and attributes. You tell them Allah says, you know, he has a face, they will tell you no. Allah says he have hands, they will tell you no. But Allah said that He sees and He hears. They will tell you no. And the other extreme, they liken Allah to His creation. They say Allah has a face like this person, or hands like that person, or Allah hears like us and sees like us. We, the Muslims, are in between. We don't deny what Allah said about Himself in the Quran, and we don't liken Allah to His creation. Why? لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. Allah refuted both teams. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ, there's nothing like on term, He's refuting the مُشَبِّهَ. وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, and He is the all-hearing, all-seeing, He's refuting the مُعَطِّلَ. Don't deny Allah's names and attributes. One small, half of an ayah, Allah refuted all of these deviant individuals. We believe in the names and attributes of Allah. How? Allahu A'lam. None of my business. But I believe what Allah Azza wa Jal revealed. We are a middle between the Khawarij and the Murji'ah. And the Mu'tazila are somewhere in between. The Murji'ah, they say that nothing affects your iman. Yani they consider the biggest sinner in Islam and Abu Bakr as-Siddiq to be equal in iman. There's no difference between them. The Khawarij, they say if you commit a major sin, you cannot be a believer, you must be a kafir. We say we are in between. Your iman is low because of your sins. Your iman is keeping you a believer, and your sins are degrading you. But we don't take away iman from you. Nor do we say nothing harms with iman. As long as you believe, you can commit all the sins. No, we believe iman yazid wa yanqus, it increases and decreases. Ayyukum zadatuhu imana. It's in the Quran. When Allah Azza wa Jalla reveals the surah, it was questioned, who amongst you has this increase in iman? We know from the Quran and the Sunnah that iman increases and decreases. Among the things which the Muslims are, this is in terms of the aqidah. Furthermore, in terms of ibadat, in terms of acts of worship, we are also in between. Islam recognizes the need of the soul and the need of the body. Your soul and the body both have rights and needs which you must fulfill. So we don't have this kind of, the priesthood, which we mentioned that they don't enjoy what Allah Azza wa Jal made halal for them. And Allah Azza wa Jal said, and seek with that which Allah has given you to Qarun. The life to come. وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. But don't forget your portion of the dunya. Yani work for Jannah, but Allah gave you food to, clothes to wear, food to eat. مَا فِي مُشْكِلَة. As long as this doesn't become your main concern. When was this revealed? It was revealed when a group of people at the time of the Prophet ﷺ said, we will amputate our private parts. We don't want to have, marriage. We just want to live for the sake of Allah. Just wander upon earth seeking Allah, His pleasure. And this ayah was revealed. O you who have believed, do not forbid the tayyibat, the good which Allah has made halal for you. And do not transgress. Verily Allah does not love the transgressors. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu explained that this ayah was revealed because of these individuals. In another hadith, Rasulullah said, verily, when someone said, I'm not going to break my fast, I will fast every day. Another one said, I will pray all night. The third one said, I will never get married. The Prophet ﷺ, it reached him. He said, as for me, I eat and I fast and I break my fast. I pray at night and I sleep. I get married to women. فَمَا رَغِبَ عَن سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. Whosoever disdains and turns away from my sunnah, he's not of me. He's not of you. You have to follow the sunnah in all regards. And he quoted some other evidences which support that. Furthermore, we are a middle nation when it comes to transactions. Bay'a and shira. Buying and selling. Allah made that halal. You can buy, you can sell, you can deal with business. And Allah Azza wa Jal made riba haram. Riba haram. So we are in between the capitalists who basically want only a group of people to have money amongst the society, and the communists who claim that everyone should have an equal share. Islam is in the middle. Now you work hard and you earn, this is your money. But Islam encouraged sadaqah and zakah and made a system where everyone will benefit in the society. In terms of marital relations, Islam also gave justice. عَاشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Deal with them and live with them kindly, with justice. And Allah gave a room for divorce. In Christianity, for example, you can divorce. Islam said, no, live with them right, in a good manner, And if you're not compatible, some people are not compatible, then divorce is an exit. So this is justice in the deen of Islam, that Allah Azza wa Jal made divorce means of the two spouses separating if necessary. He gave the man the right of talaq, and the imra'ah al-khul'. Yani she may seek divorce by returning his dowry and says, I don't want to be married to you. So he gave each one of them rights. Furthermore, Islam dealt with them, it's a long khutbah, in terms of the women. The women were honored in Islam as a mother, as a sister, as a daughter. She was given particular rights. As a young girl, she's raised in her father's house like a jewel. When she gets married, she's supposed to be treated as a queen with her husband. Nowadays, we husbands have a shortcoming in treating our wives in this fashion, but she's supposed to be honored and respected in our homes. The Prophet ﷺ said that verily women are brothers of men. Yani they have same rights and obligations in some sense. However, they're not equal. وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى. And male is unlike female. So the physical characteristics which are variant entail variation in obligations. So women have a role to play and men have a role to play. Furthermore, in terms of Islam, even commanded justice in all aspects, even with the kuffar, with the disbelievers, that Allah Azza wa Jal did not prohibit us from dealing with them justly if they're not fighting against us. Furthermore, jihad, even in jihad, which is, for your information, two kinds, offensive and defensive. Not only defensive, offensive and defensive. Even, and what is the jihad for? So the word of Allah will be the most supreme. Even when there's jihad, we are to deal justly with the people. The Prophet ﷺ would tell the expedition before they go, اتقوا الله, have taqwa of Allah. Do not kill women. Do not kill children. Do not betray. Do not act treacherously. He gave them instructions that no country in the world fulfills today. Only Islam and the Muslims. Even in terms of raising children, the Prophet ﷺ had, was seen kissing Al-Hasan, his grandson. And one of the Sahaba was there, he said, you kiss him? Wallah, I have 10 children, I've never kissed one of them. He said, what do you want me to do if Allah has, removed mercy from your heart? He's teaching them, how can you have children you don't kiss them? It's abnormal. When you see children, the first thing you want to do is kiss them, even if they're not your own children, let alone your own child. So he showed the people the tarbiyah, how to raise the children, not only by speaking, but by doing him sallallahu, by doing it sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That we've already discussed. This was the first khutbah. The second khutbah, he said that some Christians had said at the time of Shaykh Hassan ibn Taymiyyah that there are two kinds of legislations. One of adil, justice, and one of virtue. And they saying that Musa was given the shara', the legislation of justice, and Isa was given that of virtue. Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah refuted it by saying, no, there are three kinds of legislations. One of justice, one of virtue, and one of justice which commands you to do virtue, and this is Islam. This is Islam. Justice, and always encouraging you to do better than justice. To go to the extreme in doing good and being kind to the people. This is something that all of the world bears witness to. And he said, we will quote some of the statements of the people, even though the statement of Allah is sufficient. كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. You were the best nation ever produced the people. Nevertheless, many Christians in early times, they said that in the rulership of Islam, they enjoyed the most rights. أَهْلُ الذِّمَّةِ. Yani those who were under the protection of Muslims, they enjoyed the most rights. More than when they were ruled by other Christians. And he quoted a few evidences which I have summarized. And the bottom line of this, brothers in Islam, so we may benefit correctly here. Each one of us then should abide by these divine instructions. Follow Islam, but don't go to extremes in some aspects of the deen while abandoning others. And don't neglect what Allah Azza wa Jal has revealed. Stick to the way of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his application of the deen, the understanding of the Sahaba and their application of the deen, and those who followed them in goodness until today. This is the Sirat al-Mustaqim which we ask Allah Azza wa Jal for in every salah, in every rak'ah. Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim, this is Sirat al-Mustaqim. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to guide us all to apply it and live by it. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.